the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Yeah. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Oh, once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. None of that soft stuff. Rock, 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 none of that heavy metal stuff. Rock, 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 just a little bit of jazz. Rock, rock, rock,
what do you think?
Just I like love that. It. That was great. Thank
That's
you.
How you start a week. Welcome to it. I'm Nicole Big Sandler. Everybody laugh. Laughter is important. All right. So it is a Monday. That's the bad news. The good news is it's a short week. This is Thanksgiving week. And hopefully we have a lot to be thankful for. I do. I certainly do. I'm checking the other monitor there because we have a guest coming up any minute now that I'll introduce in just a moment. But Thanksgiving, I got to start off with this, is my favorite holiday of the year. And it wasn't always, but it is because of what happened on Thanksgiving 21 years ago. I know new people are always coming to the show all the time, so not everybody knows my story. But 21 years ago, this week, I was in Kazakhstan. That's where I adopted my daughter from. So I landed in Kazakhstan 21 years ago Saturday. And then I met her 21 years ago yesterday, and all the days kind of mushed together. And I think I lost a day in there somewhere, but that's what happens when you fly to the other side of the world. But in the year 2000, Thanksgiving fell on November 23rd. So tomorrow, it was 21 years ago tomorrow that I was in court in a courtroom in this tiny little village called Karakastek, which is where the orphanage was, where Allison was living. And, every year I try to do something around in November. November happens to be National Adoption Month, just a coincidence there. So I've always tried to do at least one show dealing with adoption because it's an important issue with so many people, you know, always trying to get pregnant. If it doesn't happen naturally, there are other alternatives, and there are millions of children out in the world who really need a forever family. So this year, what I might do is take Wednesday and make that the adoption show this year. And I may just go through our story, because I really haven't done that in a long, long time. All right. Somebody's calling. It's not our guest. Hello. Hi. Who's this?
Hello. This is Gregory Rogers, Geo of the Sun.
Who?
Calling
what?
You tell Nicole, thank you. You don't have to put me on.
Oh, you're on. When you call the show, you're on. You're on the air. So who is this?
Gregory.
Okay. Hi, Gregory. You're whose son?
No, that's my name.
Oh, okay. Hi, Gregory. So what's on your mind?
I'm just trying to tell you, thank you. Just being appreciative and having, oh, wow, I hear myself now.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
but you need to turn the radio down.
What? Yeah, but you ladies are beautiful, and I love the work you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I'm thankful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
There's a lot of things on my mind.
Yeah,
see, I hear her talking in the show now. I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, what happens is when you call in, on radio, there's always a delay built in. So if somebody curses, you can push the button and it erases. But with the internet, there's just a natural delay of anywhere from, 5 to 30 seconds. So
I appreciate y'all ladies' work.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
Works every day.
Well, I appreciate it. Where are you, Gregory? Where in the country are you?
I'm in Illinois.
In Illinois. Okay.
I'm from New York. I'm in Illinois.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, so you just called to say thank you?
Well, I'm hearing myself now. It's kind of crazy.
Well, yeah. So, that's why I said turn the radio down.
that is beautiful. That's beautiful. Hey, y'all keep y'all work up. All right.
Okay. Well, thanks.
I'm trying to do my best every day to try to push a message to our people.
Well, I appreciate that. Right now it's important to talk to people. You know what? I'm going to pull you down because the noise on the line is too much. But thank you for calling, Gregory, and it's nice to meet you. I appreciate the kind words.
I love you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. There's Gregory calling to say, you know, he's listening. Well, thank you for that, and I appreciate it. I keep looking, like I said, for our guest. Let me explain to you who's coming on today and why I invited him. He should be here any minute. Mike Lux is our guest today, and he's been on the show before. He is a Democratic strategist. You know, he's one of those people who you go, what do they do? Well, we'll find out what he does. But the reason I invited him today is because, as you know, if you've listened to this show in the last couple of weeks, you know that I'm pretty discouraged. I'm upset with the Democrats for not doing enough. And what they've done, they haven't done quickly enough. And too many things are just seem to be ignored. Voting rights, hello. And so I've been critical. And you've heard me talk about this before. I am on an email list. I'm on a few, but there one in particular with a lot of progressives. And these are progressives from all different walks of life. The one thing we do have in common is that we are all, you know, to the left of the party proper, right? To the party establishment for sure. So we're progressives. We're progressives who work in the policy realm. We're progressives who have no, you know, foot into the government or the political parties or anything. We're like me. I'm not involved anymore. But I care, right? And I talk about what's going on. So again, we're from all walks of life. We're ages from, I would say the youngest member of our list is probably in her early 30s, and we go up from there. And the thing is, this list, as most of us progressives have been, the members have been very critical of, you know, the way the party is operating or not. And so there's been a pretty heated discussion on this list that a bunch of us are on together. And Mike Lux is on there. Mike Lux is, he's a partner. He's one of the founding partners of Democracy Partners, which is made up of a lot of people doing the work in the trenches for the Democratic Party, from consultants to staffers to, media folks and beyond. And this list has been very critical. You know, we've been critical of Biden. We've been critical of how they've comported themselves in this fight over the infrastructure bills, how it was done, how it's been negotiated, how they're dealing with Manchin and Sinema. And it got, you know, it's the criticisms, you've heard me be critical. It's nothing compared to some of the stuff that's been voiced on this mailing list. And so the other day, Mike responded, and I thought his response was so good because it gave the view from someone who is in the trenches, who is one of us, who has the same priorities you and I have, is really progressive and wants to see us, you know, headed in the right direction, right? So I'm going to share with you his email, and hopefully by the time I'm done, Mike will have joined us. Fingers crossed. So he writes, some thoughts about this dialogue and other similar conversations we have on this list. He says, I don't think there's much doubt that politics is profoundly broken in this country. It's easy for both regular folks only following politics a little bit and for activists engaged in fighting for better policy to get discouraged. And his third point is, the Democratic Party leadership over the last 55 years, and he said, I'm using 55 years because I'm dating that back to LBJ's monumental stupidity on the Vietnam War right after he had achieved all those remarkable policy changes in 1965, has made some big policy and political strategy mistakes that have been a big part of leading us to this dysfunctional moment. So he said, there's not much doubt. Those things we agree on. Then he says, we need big, deep, strategic, and game-changing progressive movements to help change these dynamics. And we're running out of time because the fascists, not even to mention the horrors of climate change, are truly at the gate. And here's where it gets good. He says, the people like me work on a couple of things. One is fighting to get policy changes enacted. The other is on getting as many progressives elected as possible. Those two things are definitely not everything that needs to be done, far from it. But if those of us working that turf gave up the field, I guarantee you that the fascists would already be firmly in power. And for those of us in those trenches, I will be honest. It is sometimes discouraging to hear progressives, not putting words in anyone's mouth on this list, not referring to anyone on this list, just talking in general about elements of our progressive culture. So he said, it's discouraging to hear progressives not in these trenches suggesting that this will work, that this work will never succeed, or if it does, will never matter, or is all a massive disappointment because we all had to compromise to get the votes, or that the Democratic Party as a whole sucks, or that it's all a grand conspiracy. We Democrats are operating to not pass these bills. Mike Lux continues, the legislative process is goddamn hard, folks. There are a lot of big reasons why perfectly sensible policy ideas are not currently in law. Among them, wealthy and corrupt corporate interests, the corporate tin media, and stupid reporters, venal and corrupt individual politicians, parochial legislative interests, policy myths like deficit obsession and free trade that have held way too much sway, way too much sway for decades now, the entire force and reach of the right-wing infrastructure, and many more. Every major legislative battle I've ever been in has been hard as fuck, ugly, painful, painstaking. I have more crazy stories from more legislative war rooms than any of you would ever want to hear. But sometimes you win significant progress for poor and working class, for the war, for the poor and working class, and that makes it all worth it. Here we go. He says, we might not make it across the finish line on this budget bill, but we're now at a point where I think we have a better than 50-50 chance. The bill that may pass will have a lot of disappointing things that didn't make it in or that made it in at a lower level than we all hoped for. It will have some little bullshit provisions insisted on by senators at the behest of lobbyists. But listen to this part. But this bill, combined with the infrastructure bill, would also make massive investments in combating climate change, will dramatically cut child and family poverty through the child tax credit, will provide universal pre-K, will lower the costs of childcare for most parents, will lower drug and healthcare costs for millions of people, will make a major investment in rebuilding the energy grid, will give most rural areas broadband, and will fix roads and bridges that would otherwise fall apart within a couple of years, will strengthen the labor movement in several major ways, will create millions of decent paying jobs, will provide a lot of new money for regulatory enforcement, will build almost a million new units of affordable housing. It ain't perfect, and it ain't even close to being enough money on so many things we care about, but it ain't chopped liver either. And when it's done, all of us who are in the trenches policy grinders will go back at it, trying to figure out strategies for how we can try to pass the next good package of policy changes. And then he finishes up by saying, what I dearly hope is that those on the left who have many good reasons to be cynical will pause in their cynicism at least for a moment and say, hey, the Democratic Party, even with no margins in the House and Senate and plenty of assholes in the Democratic caucus, even with the united, ferocious opposition from most of the corporate America and the entire Republican war machine, got something good and significant across the finish line. Let's take a moment and be happy. That's his suggestion on what we should be saying. And then he ended with, I know that's unlikely to happen with some people, but I hope it happens with at least a few of my progressive friends. And that's why I invited Mike Lux on the show. I don't know where he is, but I'm going to try him again via email. But in the meantime, someone's on the phone. Is this you again? Hello? Hi, what's up?
I was just trying to say that, you know, like everything is agreed. I agree on everything, and I'm a little serious, a little pissed, is that I can't get everybody on the same page.
Yeah.
You know, you're saying the right things, and I want our people to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And they can do.
Oh, hold on. I just I pulled up the Zoom thing on the other computer. Give me one second. Sorry about that. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, I know I did something here. I'm trying to just find where my guest is. But so you agree with everything he wrote there?
No.
No.
Not everything.
Okay.
No, not everything. No.
Okay.
No. But most of it, yes.
Okay.
We need our people to come along with us.
Yes.
They don't agree because they don't listen and they're not tuned in all the time. And it's a little hard to get the people tuned in to the same thing that, you know, like some of us may, you know, think of every day. I mean, you know, some of us think of that way, but the rest of them don't think that.
Okay.
They don't care,
actually. Okay.
You know, and it's just, like I said earlier, I'm thankful for the work you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
it. There's no other way that it's going to get put out. I tried my best. I even tried to talk to my children, and they don't get it either.
How old are your children?
28. 27, 19, and 20.
And they don't get it? Are they Republicans?
No. I'm not a Republican either.
Right. I hope not. I wouldn't think you would be if you're listening to the show. But you say they don't get it. What don't they get?
It's just that you know, I think it's a respectability about politics. They don't understand, but they think it doesn't matter.
Way to say it. Did they not live through the 4 years of Donald Trump? Did that not affect them at all?
I mean, well, Donald Trump was in hip hop music all the time, you know.
Yeah.
So It really doesn't make a difference.
What? Because he embraced some hip hop artists, your kids thought he was okay.
No, hip hop artists embraced the community.
Right.
But the community didn't embrace Donald Trump.
Right. So, but I don't understand what you're saying about your kids then.
They knew he was stupid anyway.
Right.
So.
Okay, but your kids are adults, and you're saying that he embraced the hip-hop community. So that won your kids over? That was enough to make them think that he's okay?
I want to say it like this. I'm 50-something years old.
Yeah.
All right. And we got taught civics. We got taught, you know, I went to Catholic school. We got taught civics, religion, all that stuff like that. These kids didn't get taught that stuff. I teach them myself. So they don't get it. They don't get it.
Well, that's a shame. Shame.
And I think it's the same way with a lot of kids out here. They don't understand that's stupid stuff.
Do they understand like, their votes are at risk, that gerrymandering goes on?
I try my best.
And they don't get it.
There's only ones I can be closest to tell them that they need to vote.
Yes.
You need to vote. I live in another state, so I'm not living in the same state. So I tell them, you need to vote.
Right. Well,
if I move to another state, I'm running. Well, Kinzinger's seat is up.
Yes, it is. Are you in his district?
If I stay here in Illinois, I'm going to vote for him. I'm going for the seat, actually.
You are. So, have you started the Are you? You're in Kinzinger's district.
Yeah, I talked to I talked to the what's called in Rochester, and I talked to him, and I was like, you know, trying to how can I get myself set up to run for the seat for Congress of New York.
Of New York.
He sent me back. He messaged me back, and he gave me some information and stuff I should do. And I'm going to try to do that.
Okay. Well, you need to do it now, because now is the time.
I didn't know I would do that because Kinzer wasn't out yet.
Okay.
He wasn't out yet.
Okay, but are you saying somebody in Rochester, New York, or someone there in Illinois in Kinzinger's district?
Rochester, New York sucks. I told them not to. To vote for the mayor.
Yeah.
In Rochester.
Yeah. Well, that was at Buffalo, but you know what? You're confusing me. I'm really
no. I'm talking about Rochester, New York. I'm talking about Rochester, not Buffalo.
Okay.
New York.
Okay. You know what?
She would have been good.
Okay. Yeah.
She would have been
all
good.
Right. You know what?
I'm talking about Mayor Warren.
Okay, gotcha. But you know what? I got to run because my guest has arrived. So, and I only have him for a little while.
I'm
so I'm going to go talk to Mike Lux, and we'll pick up this conversation another day. Okay. All right.
Can I just email you?
You absolutely can email me, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. Okay.
I got you, Beth.
Cool.
Yes,
all right.
Thank you.
Thanks
so
much.
For all you, do.
You got it. Thanks for calling. Right. Bye-bye. Okay. So now, hey, Mike Lux.
Nicole,
Mike Lux is here.
Apologies, Nicole. I completely screwed this up.
No worries. I'm glad you're here. And actually, I shared your email to the list, I hope you don't mind, with the listeners because I wanted to get your point across. Right now, we are at a place where a lot of people, a lot of progressives like us, are a little disappointed with the way things are going. I mean, look, I made no secret. I'm very honest with my listeners. They know that I was not thrilled with the idea of Joe Biden as the Democratic nominee. I didn't think he would win. He surprised me, and he did. I think the power was anybody but Trump. I would have voted for my dog Jackson. So I think a lot of people felt like that. And then when he took office, it sounded like Bernie Sanders really had his ear, and he was showing his progressive side. And I said on more than one occasion, I'm pleasantly surprised. But here we are now, we're 10 months into it, 11 months into it, and things have not been progressing the way we'd like. And I see a lot of stuff, you know, slowing down and not happening, and we're getting frustrated. And I mentioned we're on this list together, and a lot of people have been voicing some frustrations, and you gave us a different perspective. So Mike Lux, if you don't mind, will you explain what your involvement has been with the Democratic Party over the last however many years? Because you are in the trenches.
Nicole, I'm echoing a little bit. Am I echoing on your end?
You're not. I'm sorry. It should clear up any second now.
Okay.
I hope.
All right. So I've been involved in progressive politics and in Democratic politics at the same time for about 40 years.
Years. Yep.
The first 10 of it, I was in Iowa. Working in Iowa politics, and I worked for the state AFL-CIO. I worked for a group called Iowa Citizen Action Network. I ran that organization, which was a statewide progressive coalition. I got involved in presidential politics, and I was for Tom Harkin in 1992, who was the most progressive candidate in the race.
Okay.
But when Harkin lost, I ended up going down to Little Rock and helping out in the general election. And through that came to D.C. And served in the Clinton White House. I was one of the very few sort of resident lefties in the Clinton White House.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I was in the mix. I was, you know. And I won some policy battles against Bob Rubin, you know, where we sort of, you know, debated things and had things out. And I felt like I was making a difference in that role. After I left the White House, which was just a matter of sheer exhaustion, after a few years at the White House and the campaign and all that, ever since then, I've sort of played different roles in both, again, both Democratic progressive politics. I've been a consultant to a lot of different organizations. I've been a consultant to some candidates. I've worked on some other presidential races. I know a lot of the players. And so what the main thing I've done is work on policy. The policy work that I've done is I've tried to help when I was in the White House from the inside, but since then from the outside, I've tried to help organize the Progressive Coalition to get as much done as we could possibly get done every opportunity we had to do it. So that's been my role. I've been that kind of bridge guy, trying to push the Democrats to the left on policy, trying to just get stuff done.
Right.
I assume I can swear on your
show.
Oh,
you can say, yes, you can say anything you want.
I'm trying to get shit done. That's gotcha. My, got a big sign in the office. Get shit done.
And here's the thing. The Democratic Party, we've all heard it, is a big tent. And it is a big tent. We have, the people I call conservadems. Howie Klein refers to them as the Republican wing of the Democratic Party. Right?
Absolutely.
All the way to a lot of, members of the Democratic Socialists of America. We are a big tent party. Mm-hmm. Now, the people who are in Congress also have a wide berth. You've got people from, Steny Hoyer and Jim Clyburn to AOC and Pramila Jayapal. I mean, and everything in between. Probably more on the right, that people that I'm not really familiar with.
I'm very familiar
you
with
are.
Them because there's about 12 assholes in the House who are always in every big important legislative fight. They're almost always on the wrong side.
Wow.
And with the margins as close as they are right now, we really have to work those people. And usually we can bring them around eventually. Sometimes you got to negotiate on specific language, blah, blah, blah. But usually we can get them get them to vote with us through a combination of grassroots pressure. Nancy Pelosi, who for all of Nancy's faults, she is great at getting bills passed.
She said they were going to get it done in the House, and they did. And I was worried, frankly, because she had promised, as had President Biden, that the two bills, the BIF, God, and the naming, our messaging sucks. I'm sorry. BIF and the reconciliation package. That's really how we were referring to them. And people out in America don't know what that means. But so we got the hard infrastructure and the soft infrastructure with not one vote we'll talk about the Senate in a second. I think a 3-vote margin in the House, and they got it passed. Once Joe Biden signed the BIF into law, I really thought it was over, as did many people in our little group. But they surprised me. And so I want to give credit where credit is due. But I am now worried that now it goes back to the Senate, where Manchinima and probably some others that have been just hiding behind those two have problems with it. And they're going to fuck with this bill. So the fact that Stephanie Murphy and the other people who were like, we want to see the CBO score before we vote, it didn't matter because it's going to change, right?
Right. Well, and that was all bullshit anyway. They just wanted to flex their muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had a general sense of how the bill added up. The Treasury had already done a thorough analysis. The Joint Congressional Committee, which is a separate, operation from CBO, had already done its own analysis. The numbers added up and everybody knew it. But they just wanted to do this, they wanted to flex their muscles.
Right.
But yes, we got it through the House, and it was painful as hell, but we got it through. And now
the Senate,
we have this whole, the Senate rules are so convoluted. And so it's like designed to make the whole body dysfunctional. And that's something that we have to repair, whenever we get the votes to do that. But right now, it's just a terribly dysfunctional legislative body. And so we have, we basically have about 3 weeks, a 3 week period where we've got to try to get this done. Now, right this week, they're off for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, they are. And they were off the week before last, too, which I don't get. I don't understand that. When they know they're up against this hard deadline, they've got to get these bills done. But they also have government funding and the debt ceiling coming due next week. So what are they doing?
I know. Well, and I was just going to say, next ceiling, they're going to have to deal with, the government funding issue, the debt ceiling issue, that kind of crap. But even while all of that's going on, the negotiating sort of goes on behind the scenes. We are in spite of the problems that Mark Warner or, somebody else might have with some of these bills, they basically have agreed that they're going to vote for them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that we are very confident in that. Right now. So the problem is still Manchin and Sinema. But I think they're both seem like they're, in a mood to negotiate. They both have been, granted, because they have, we have to have their votes, right?
Yes.
We've given in on a lot to them. But they both seem like they're about ready to vote for this bill. And it's just a matter of, slowly, steadily, painfully, working out all those final details. The House bill will change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing that's in the House bill that we really wanted that we probably won't get in the Senate is the
family leave,
paid leave.
Yeah.
That's the biggest one. And that's just tragic. And that's not Sinema. That's all Manchin.
Manchin, wow.
Manchin is an old, he's a 74 year old, guy who's not really worried about young parents and, and he has a lot of very Republican like attitudes. Comes from a very Republican state, and so he wants to take one final pound of flesh, so I think that right now I would people are still trying to work out a deal with him on family leave. It seems like it's probably not going to happen at
right.
this point.
What
but
about? It's not,
but I also I will say this to your to your viewers and listeners. Nothing is ever over till it's over. I mean, the thing about the legislative process is you keep working on stuff. You keep working on stuff. And sometimes you get more than you thought. Like, 3 weeks ago, all of us who were working so hard on this lowering drug prices provision thought it was dead. We thought that pharma had won. But didn't they pretty much?
I mean, insulin prices are going to be $35 or below a month, and that's great. But and the most expensive drugs, I guess, are impacted. But for the most of it, it's going to remain the same, right?
No? I mean we got some decent.
Did you?
I think, and again, it's still
Senate
still negotiating.
Right.
I think we got some decent language on a lot of drugs. And I also think we got some good language on the percentage of income that any one person has to pay, that they won't have to pay more than, I can't remember now what the exact final number is, and it could still change. But we got some good concessions out of them because, people like Jan Schakowsky and other folks just kept at it and just kept negotiating and kept working it. One of the biggest lessons in politics to me, and progressives need to hold this close to their heart. Never give up. You know,
never give up.
If you just keep fighting, you know, you can usually get, you almost never get everything you want, but you can usually get, you know, a chunk of it if you just keep in the game, you know.
Right.
Elizabeth Warren likes to say, we aren't going to get everything we fight for, but we don't get anything if we don't fight for it.
Well, that's it. And one thing that you wrote in that post, Mike, that I stressed is you said, the minute that, now I can't find it, but you said if the people like me who are in the trenches stop fighting, then the fascists would be in power already. We, you know, you're doing a really important thing here. And when people like me get frustrated and say, I'm done with the Democratic Party. Well, first of all, here's what I say to people like who say that. Where are you going to go? You think the Republicans are going to be any better? No. Yeah. What we have to do, like it or not, we have a two-party system in this country. That's just the way it is. Any third party is going to maybe be a spoiler. So we want the Republicans to split, but we certainly don't want the Democrats to split right now. We need to make them better. And I wanted to let the listeners know that there are people like you in the trenches, that there are real progressives doing the work that we are, you know, out here screaming about that we don't often see. We know Bernie's there. We know the squad is there. But we don't see people like you, Mike Lux, because you are working in the background, in the trenches. And I wanted to let everyone know you and others like you are there.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that, Nicole. I appreciate, you know, you raising that up, because there's a set of people who've been working on these issues for a long, long time. I, you know, I've been working on them for 40 years.
Right.
I know people who are still working on them, who've been doing it for 50 years or more. I mean, like, who are still at it every day.
Right.
You know, I just think it's so easy to get frustrated. And, you know, the media always portrays everything in the most negative.
It's horrible. Light.
But when you look at the real things that we, you know, pray to whatever God you may or may not believe in, but, you know, that hopefully we will get out of this bill. And I listed some of those things in that email. It's actually, there's some amazing stuff we're going to get. We're going to get, you know, a million new affordable housing units built. It should be a lot more, but a million is
that's
is
a good
a lot,
start,
right?
It's a really good. You got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, and you know, the climate stuff that's in not only this bill but in the you know, the BIF, I call it the infrastructure bill, but you know there are some really important provisions. Some of them are big, some of them are small, but they add up. This stuff adds up. And you know, to think about the child tax credit, which people like Rosa DeLauro and Sherrod Brown have been fighting for their entire careers, because it cuts child poverty in half.
Sure.
You know, that's in this, that's extended. It was in the recovery plan. Now it's extended in this. Childcare, you know, most people are going to only have to pay up to 7% of their income now for their childcare. In a lot of cases, that used to be 10, 15,
oh, sure.
20%
or more. Right.
Or more.
Right.
So, you know, the you know, pre-K, you know, universal pre-K all across the country, universal broadband.
Right.
All
which
across the
so important, which we learned, you know, during the pandemic when, you know, kids from less affluent families had to go sit in the parking lot of a McDonald's to get the Wi-Fi to do their homework.
Exactly. This is big stuff.
Yeah, it is,
you know,
big stuff.
The electric grid, you know, John Oliver just had a great show a couple of weeks back on the electric grid and how important it is. $65 billion to help shore up the electric grid.
Right.
These are really important things, and people should not underestimate, you know, and I sometimes I do get frustrated as one of those people in the trenches. Mm-hmm. I do get frustrated sometimes with my fellow lefties, and I'm with them on everything, but to just be dismissive, oh, we had to compromise, so it's not a bad bill. Oh, we didn't get single payer, so healthcare is terrible. You know, we can make improvements. Sometimes we get big improvements. Mostly we chip away, but it adds up.
Right. And this will be, and
it's a better life for
millions of people. And if this goes through the Senate, you're convinced it will go through. It may not be exactly the form that they got it in, but you believe it will pass.
Well, hang on. I don't want to
You're confident.
I'm relatively confident.
Okay.
But it's never over till it's over.
Right.
You know, you're never done until the vote's taken, because Joe Manchin could wake up with a fever dream in the middle of the night and like have something else he wants to, you know. I don't want to make any assumptions,
right,
but I think we have a good chance of getting this done. And if we got, I mean, I tell you, the progressives on Capitol Hill, you know, Bernie, AOC, mm-hmm, you know, Pramila, like Elizabeth, I mean, all these people that I know are so excited about the potential, even with the compromises.
And when you look at it, I mean, look, this started out as a $6 trillion bill. And Bernie said even that wasn't enough to put us in line with the rest of the world.
But with what we should be doing.
With what we should be doing. Absolutely. But you got to start somewhere, right? Mike Lux, I know you needed to get on another call at 5:30. So do you need to go?
I changed my whole schedule. My whole schedule got kind of screwed up today, which is why I'm late. So I did change my schedule. So I'm okay. But I do have to leave. Nicole, I so value your show and all the great guests that you have on. You and I share one of our favorite people ever, Joel Silberman, who I know was a regular.
And my listeners know him too. And I miss him every day. Think about him all the time.
I miss him every day. And, you know, in this era of Zoom, I know he and I would have been on Zoom every single day.
Without a doubt. You
know, telling jokes and like trading ideas I miss that.
Joel used to come on via Skype and we'd try to do video, which would work about half the time we tried. There's always a technical, I have gremlins in the studio.
The nature of Skype, right?
Yes, yes. But yes, oh God, I miss him. And I hear his voice all the time of how we need to get through this, how we can get through this. And he always provided an attitude adjustment here. Like when I'd be down in the dumps, he would give me another way to look at things. And Mike, frankly, that's why I wanted to talk to you, because I know I've been in that doom and gloom area regarding the Democratic Party and what's going on now, as have many of the listeners. So yeah. I thought your, as I told you, when I read your post to the list, I thought, oh my God, this was just what I needed to hear right now. And I think the listeners need to hear it too. So that's why I wanted you to come on today. And I'm so glad you were able to. You'll come back on maybe when this gets through and we can talk about everything that's in it.
Once we get this bill done, hopefully. I'd be glad to come on. Because you know, we pass this bill, then we go right back at it.
Right. We work on the things we didn't get.
We have another reconciliation bill next year. Maybe we can make more progress there. We have other fights that we can take on.
But to do that, the Democrats need to win next year. And these polling numbers that the media is just like giddy about, we need to stop that. We need to stop the bleeding. And I'm sure that's why they decided to rush through the BIF to get something done. Right. And then we can keep moving. I'm just glad we're keeping moving.
The American people want results. If they don't get results, they're going to vote us out. But if they do, if they start seeing these things, We have a legitimate shot at winning the 2022 elections. I am not as pessimistic as a lot of people. We've got a shot, and we just got to keep working on it.
And the thing is, rather than get discouraged, reach out and convince someone that good things are happening, because they are. It may not be as epic as we want, but sometimes you got to take baby steps before you can run.
Absolutely. You know, Tom Harkin used to refer to it as a starter house.
Right.
Okay.
Sure.
This year's build, this is our starter house. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of years, we might be able to build a better house.
But this,
you know,
this starter house is bigger than anything that we've done probably since the days of LBJ and FDR.
It is. It absolutely is.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Mike Lux, thank you so much. I'm so glad you were able to join us. I appreciate it.
Apologies again to you and your listeners for being late. I'm sorry about that.
No worries at all. Shit happens. Thank you, Mike. We'll talk again soon. Really appreciate it. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Mike Lux. And see, now you hear why I wanted Mike to come on with us. I hope that assuaged your concerns a little bit. Look, I know they're big concerns we have, but you know, I got so many, you know, tweets and emails from people after they decided to do the BIF before the reconciliation package was done, saying, that's it. I'm done with the Democrats. I'm independent. I will not vote for them again. And my first thought is, what's the alternative? You're going to vote for the Republicans? And that's, unfortunately, it seems like people go, well, they're not doing any good, so I'm going to go to the other guys. Well, we know what the other guys do. And that's not an option. And if the Democrats aren't doing the job you want them to do, then vote in Democrats who will do the work you want them to do. That's why, frankly, that's why Howie Klein is here every Thursday, because in his role as the head of the Blue America PAC, which, by the way, he runs with Digby of Digby's Hullabaloo and John Amato of Crooks and Liars. But Howie's the main guy. And if the reason Howie is on is to show you that it's not just us out here on the fringes saying, oh, we need to get some progressives elected. He finds great progressive candidates, and Howie's not the only one. There's Justice Democrats, and there's the Bold Progressives, and there are a number of real progressive groups. We all need to work together and to realize compromise is part of the political process. There are days when I think compromise is a dirty word, but I like those dirty words. I understand you have to compromise and you're not going to get everything you want. Look, I'm really angry that the provision I most wanted is not in there. I wanted the Medicare age lowered because I'm selfish. Because I just turned 62. So I've got 3 more years to wait till I'm 65. It would be nice if I could get into Medicare now. Although, frankly, I want them to fix the whole Medicare Advantage thing, and that doesn't even seem to be on the table yet. But I'm also, you know, magnanimous enough to say, okay, it's not about me. This is about our society in general. My kid is no longer a child. How much would I have loved those child tax credits when I could have taken advantage of them? Well, I can't anymore because she's 22. But you know what? I know how many millions of families will be helped by this. I have bemoaned the fact, and by the way, the phone lines are open again. The people who were calling in before, I know there was somebody calling from Nevada. Call on back because I can take you now. I interrupted myself. So, you know, I would have loved to be able to take advantage of that, but I'm not so selfish that I want to keep other people from getting the benefits of what a society that takes care of its people does. We should have those child tax credits. We should have paid family leave. We should have, you know, we should have single payer health care. We should have health care as a human right, but we don't. And that's, you know, that sucks. It just frankly does. But that's where we are. So the whole point in this exercise was to let us get off of our, high horses and look at the big picture and say, yeah, again, I'm going to read this paragraph from Mike's letter. Sorry. He said, even if, Let's see. The bill that may pass will have a lot of disappointing things that didn't make it in or that made it in at a lower level than we had all hoped for. It will have some little bullshit provisions insisted on by senators at the behest of lobbyists. But, it's a big but, this bill, combined with the infrastructure bill, would also make massive investments in combating climate change, will dramatically cut child and family poverty through the child tax credit, will provide universal pre-K, will lower the cost of child care for most parents, will lower drug and health care costs for millions of people, will make a major investment in rebuilding the energy grid, will give most rural areas broadband, will fix roads and bridges that would otherwise fall apart within a couple of years, will strengthen the labor movement in several major ways, will create millions of decent paying jobs, will provide a lot of new money for regulatory enforcement, will build almost 1 million new units of affordable housing, and it goes on like that. Get it? So it's good. It may not be perfect. And I always hated it when people said this back, I think it was in the days when we were going through this with the Obamacare bill. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. I know what it means. And as much as I hate the saying, I get it. I get it. All right. Back to the phones. Joy is back. Hey, Joy, what's up?
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi.
I was calling because, one, I wanted to see how you're doing with Thanksgiving this week.
Doing great.
Excellent. I may have worked with your guest.
With Mike Lux?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we both worked on the Tom Harkin campaign.
Ah, well, Mike Lux has been in the...
And we used to kind of have this whole thing where we kind of... It was weird because... Ralph Nader's campaign was always dissing us, and I wrote Tom Harkin's Native American policy. And I also asked that he, you know, also put some things in for gifted kids, because gifted kids are kind of ignored.
It depends
and
where
so
you are.
He was willing. Yeah, I guess it does, but. Where I was working in D.C. at the time, mm-hmm. then we probably worked on some other things together, and I'm thinking I might have actually known him.
Maybe. He's, like I said, he's been doing this work for a long time. Again, he's a co-founder of Democracy Partners, so he works with a lot of other people. I don't know if you were listening when Joel Silberman was a regular. Joel used to be on with me, I think, on Monday or every other Monday, and he was just amazing, and unfortunately, we lost him. To prostate cancer, pancreatic cancer. About, it's got to be 4 or 5 years ago already. God, I hate it. But that's who we were talking about. Anyway, Joy, I'm going to run and let other people in. But thank you for calling.
Have a good Thanksgiving, my dear.
Thank you. You too. And by the way, I'll be here
please
tomorrow.
Please read your message.
Whoops. I think the Vegas caller called back. And I tried to get him in, and I kind of screwed that up. Oh, and I closed the phone. So if anybody calls in now, all right, it's open again. There was something I wanted to play for you. And let me see if our Vegas, somebody left a message there. Sorry, my phone system is weird, but it's working again. I'm all over the place. This week, just so you know, tomorrow we'll be here. Gotta Laugh will join us. And Brandy Buckman, who was reporting for, I think it was Courthouse News. She covered every big trial out there. Well, she left Courthouse News. She went to Daily Kos, and she's still covering the big trials. She's going to join us tomorrow. And I know that one of the things she's working on are all the January 6th hearings. Now, Marcy Wheeler was on with us a week or two ago. She's been listening in. There's like a call-in line. But Brandy, I believe, is in the courtroom where they're doing this thing. And by the way, news just broke right as we were going on the air that the January 6th Commission has issued subpoenas for, it's my drum roll, Alex Jones and Roger Stone. Bring them on. Bring them on. Okay. Yes. Okay. So, all right. I'm it's hard. I always try to keep up with what's going on in the YouTube chat room, but I can't necessarily because, damn it, where's that thing I downloaded? I can't because all the time because, you know, I'm talking. Generally, I participate in the chat when I have a guest on tape. But when I'm live, it's hard to. But I did download this video that I want to share with you. Let me see if it's it here. No, it didn't download. Damn it. All right, I'm going to see if I can't find it here. Give me just a moment because it's you know, I was during the Trump years and during the early days of the lockdown, I was trying to do a parody song or something comedic every day. Well, honestly, it seems that since we got Joe Biden in office, the comedy has died down. So it's the bits that I find online are fewer and far between, but there are some good ones that I'll get to. I'll get to one in just a moment. But our Vegas caller is back. You there? Hello? Hello? I hear myself coming back. Yeah, you got to turn the sound of the computer down.
Okay, great. Gotcha. Okay, good. I was hoping that you can give me. I'm turning it up. I'm sorry.
Who is this? First of all, who am I talking with?
Okay, I'm Marcus.
Marcus. Hey, Marcus in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah. Okay. First of all, I was hoping. Can you provide some contact information? I don't even know how to spell your guest's last name.
Mike Lux. Well, he's on Twitter. At Progressive, Lux is L-U-X. So are you on Twitter?
L-U-X. Okay.
L-U-X.
No, but okay. Does he have an I've got your email.
You got my email.
Nicole Sandler. Okay.
Nicole at NicoleSandler.com. I'll tell you what. Send me an email, and I'll forward it on to him.
Okay, thanks. I really appreciate him. He stole my thunder, and, you know, I'm going to email you a post that I put on Facebook because okay. I'm like you, and I've been very, very disgruntled and pissed off for a long time with our party.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the biggest and best thing that we can possibly do right now is try to get people out and get good people in.
Right.
You know,
we have to.
I like the sound of that.
Good. And, because, you know, the alternative is unacceptable. And when I hear people say, well, the Democrats aren't doing what we elected them to do, so I'm going to go back to the Republicans. No.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
I just don't get that. I don't understand, you know, how, you know, you got on one hand, you got people giving you everything that they can possibly give you to make your life better.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these poll ratings that the media touts, right? His approval rating is underwater and he's at 38%.
Right.
Kamala Harris is in the 20s, and right. But 80% of the people like what's in the Build Back Better plan. You know, we like what's in there.
Right.
The overwhelming majority of folks like what's in there, but we don't approve of the guy giving it to us.
Yeah.
I mean.
Right. It's not even him. He's doing everything he can to get it across the finish line. And we have Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin who are gunking everything up. Well, they're the problems.
That's one of the questions I wanted to pose to your guest. See, this is something I believe. I think that they should put Schumer should grow a pair, put that thing on the floor as it is right now, and call their bluff.
Well, they
call
can't because it's not a written bill yet. They have to have it in the form to go on the floor. There's so much that goes into writing these bills and getting them ready. It can't just go on the floor. It needs to be ready to go on the floor, and it's not ready yet.
Well, I understand, but when it gets ready, and if it's with the family leave in there and the Medicare provisions that you're talking about, and everything that the House had originally wanted, if that was ready, I'd put that sucker on the floor right now and dare Manchin to vote against it.
Well,
I dare him to vote against it, and if he did, he'd be a fool. And he'd go down in history as the biggest fool in history, and send him along with them. But I don't think they would. I think they're bluffing right now. And if you put it in front of them to vote on this thing right now, you know, do or die.
Right.
I think they'll go along with it.
Well, they're on vacation this week, so nothing's happening this week
as usual. Remember that movie Eddie Murphy made about becoming a congressional representative? He was a hustler. And he realized, hey, shit, this is the biggest hustle in town.
No kidding.
You know, Jesus Christ. I don't know of a job where people have more time off than these congressional representatives
really?
Do.
I know. It's infuriating. Years. And when they have so much important work to do and they still go.
Exactly. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll email you and, I don't even know how to get on Twitter, but I need to get a hold of Mike Lux.
Okay, send me an email. I'll forward it to Mike, and knowing Mike as I do, I'm sure he'll get back to you as well.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
have a good
thank
day.
You, Marcus. Nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
And to you too as well. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that brings us to the end of the show. We'll see you tomorrow. See, I had to let the music end because, you know, I need this hour-long show that I upload to Progressive Voices. They run it on the weekends. Other channels, other stations carry the show. But then once, you know, the hour is officially over, I can keep going. I do have something funny to play for you, but it's outside of the actual show. I'm wondering if I should hold it till tomorrow, and that way everyone can enjoy it. I think we'll do that, okay? We'll do that. What the other thing I wanted to mention, someone else is calling. All right, well, it's we're in overtime now. Hello? Hello? This is what was his name? Is this Gregory? Okay, I got to hang up because he keeps having the volume up in the background. That was our first caller. I think his name was Gregory. I get back when I don't write it down. It's that short-term memory loss that, you know, I have to write down names when people call in because otherwise I forget. It's a side effect. I'll admit it. Long-term loss of short-term memory. Just saying. All right. Tomorrow, Laffy and Brandy Buckman. Wednesday, I think I'm going to do the adoption show. So Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, might be a day that, you know, it's going to be a little self-indulgent. But I promise you it'll be interesting. Either way, listen, don't listen. Thursday for Thanksgiving, we'll do an audio-only music show because, you know, we can. And Friday, I'm not sure. I may do another music show. I may do a best of and take the long weekend. We'll figure it out as the week goes on, okay? But either way, I'm here. I'm here. You can always reach me, Nicole, at NicoleSandler.com. I do get your emails. I answer most of them. I read all of them, all right? Okay, on that note, I guess I'm going to go. I will leave you with... Yes, I am teasing you, aren't I? Well, I could play it now. All right, you want it? I'll play it now. What the hell? Give you guys who need something funny, because we all need something funny, something funny. So I've played songs from this couple before. Hold on. I got to find, where am I here? Bring it up to this window, maybe? Yes. All right. So they go by, what name do they use here? Oh, it says Jonathan Jensen, but this isn't Jonathan Jensen. It's a Jonathan Jensen parody. Okay. But this couple, I forget, I'm all confused now. Don't mind me. I'm a little confused right now, but I will play you this. It's called Deranged, Dopey, and Deluded. It's a song dedicated to Marjorie Taylor Greene. All right, take it away. The Jonathan Jensen parody? That's not the name they usually go by. Here we go. I think. Whoop. And now it's not playing. Oh, I know why. Hold on. Damn it. You see, this is what happens. I shouldn't do this because I wasn't. That's a good thing we're in overtime, huh? Hold on one second. I think I have this muted. That's why. All right. We're going to unmute it. We're going to start over. Bear with me. You know, good thing we're in overtime here. All right. Here we go. Ha! Fourth time's a charm.
I'm wild again, reviled again. Democracy's house I've defiled again. Deranged, dopey, and deluded am I don't agree with AOC, and so I must stalk her relentlessly. Insurrection. Russia's climate scam. I crow a lot, bash Joe a lot, and that's why I'm raking in dough a lot. Deranged, dopey, and deluded.
I hope that was worth it. Sandy and Richard Riccardi, that's who they are. But that was by Jonathan Larson. So I will post that on the blog where I post the day's show. Today's will be at NicoleSandler.com/11-22-21, because that's how I do it, by the date. And so it'll be there along with today, the audio podcast and the video. I do that every day. And if I ever play a video or read an article or something, I put it in there as well. Oh, man, I never got to the Leonard Pitts column. I'm going to have to save it till tomorrow, I suppose, unless you want it now. Want it now? I'll wait till tomorrow. I will leave you with the news, though, because we can. And I'll see you tomorrow. Okay. All right. See, I still have stuff for this week. I know. Even though you could tell I really need a vacation. All right. I'm going to let you go. I'll leave you with the news. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm out. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Five people were killed and more than 40 injured when a vehicle drove into a Christmas parade Sunday in Waukesha, Wisconsin. The mayor, Sean Riley, called it a horrible and senseless act. The police chief said that the suspected vehicle was recovered and a person of interest has been taken into custody. And so far, that's about all we know. Demonstrators protesting Kyle Rittenhouse's acquittal retraced the route that the Illinois teen walked in Kenosha, Wisconsin, on the night that he shot and killed two people and wounded a third during protests over the police shooting that paralyzed Jacob Blake. The marchers carried signs reading, "Reject racist vigilante terror," and "The whole system is guilty." The Reverend Jesse Jackson had been scheduled to join the protest, but he didn't show up. His Rainbow Push Coalition said the 80-year-old civil rights leader was instead preparing to ask congressional leaders to pressure the Justice Department to investigate the case. NAACP President and CEO Derek Johnson said Sunday that the acquittal was a, quote, warning shot that vigilante justice is allowed in this country. Rittenhouse said he fired in self-defense. Congress is on recess this week for Thanksgiving. Before they left, the House passed the president's Build Back Better agenda. The bill now goes to the Senate, where Democrats will try to negotiate with obstructionist conservative Democratic senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to address their disagreements on the size and scope of the package. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said, quote, "The House did a very strong bill. Everyone knows that Manchin and Sinema have their concerns, but we're going to try to negotiate with them and get a very strong, bold bill out of the Senate, which will then go back to the House and pass." Schumer then said he'd like to get the bill done by Christmas. So would we. Well, as the weather turns colder, COVID is heating up again. About 35,000 people marched in Brussels on Sunday to protest enhanced COVID-19 restrictions imposed to fight the latest surge in Belgium. Things got out of hand after some of the crowd dispersed. A few hundred lingering protesters clashed with police and set bins of garbage on fire. Police responded with tear gas and water cannons. But it's not only Belgium. A number of European countries have also announced renewed measures to curb infections since the WHO identified Europe as a current pandemic hotspot last week. Rioting broke out at The Hague on Saturday over the Dutch government's new coronavirus measures, and about 40,000 people on Saturday crowded the streets of Vienna in that country's biggest coronavirus-related protests to date. Dutch police arrested more than 30 people Saturday night as anti-lockdown protests continued into their second night. Now, at least those riots weren't as violent as those that hit Rotterdam on Friday night when 51 people were arrested and three were shot by police. But they were more widespread. Saturday, massive protests in Austria against their new lockdown that takes effect today. Over 40,000 people turned out in Vienna to show their outrage. The Netherlands' vaccination rate is among the highest in Europe, while Austria's is one of the lowest. Protests against new COVID restrictions also popped up in Croatia and Italy. Meanwhile, the number of U.S. COVID-19 deaths in 2021 has surpassed the 2020 death toll. According to data provided by Johns Hopkins University, 385,343 Americans were reported to have died of COVID in 2020. Still, if you and your family members are fully vaccinated, Dr. Fauci says it's okay to ditch the masks and enjoy your family this year. Fauci did note that if you're traveling or unaware of the vaccination status of the people you're with, then you should wear a mask. At press time, closing arguments are in progress in the trial over Ahmaud Arbery's killing, and the stakes are high. Lots of people watching with concerns about favoritism in the U.S. legal system toward white men with guns after the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict was decided in his favor on Friday. Now, this is interesting. Fox News contributors Stephen Hayes and Jonah Goldberg have resigned in protest over what they described as incendiary and false claims by some of the channel's hosts in support of Donald Trump. Both men told NPR that the breaking point was Tucker Carlson's Patriot Purge, a three-part series on the January 6th Capitol attack by a mob of Trump supporters. Goldberg saying, quote, "It traffics in all manner of innuendo and conspiracy theories that I think legitimately could lead to violence. That, for me and Steve, was the last straw." Okay. And finally, President Biden has assured key donors and allies that he plans to run for a second term in 2024. If elected, that means he'd be 82 years old on Inauguration Day, completely shattering the record held by Ronald Reagan, who was 73. This announcement comes amid concerns over Kamala Harris's low approval ratings. Some inside the party have expressed concerns about the president's health. Others are suggesting that his statements about running again are an insincere but necessary strategy to avoid turning himself into a lame duck. It's still early. It's still really early. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.